Good morning, everybody. We do want to welcome the Lord in our midst this morning, whom we are so privileged to have in this church, because we gather in the name of Jesus. I would like my wife just to come and say hi to you, because we have thoroughly enjoyed this short time with you. Thank you, sweetheart.
Hello to those who have not said hello to already. I just want to encourage you, when you were testifying before, not everyone can get to everything. And I really felt the Lord impressed on my heart that in Deuteronomy, and I was trying to find the verse, my husband will probably know it off by heart, when an army went out to battle, those who stayed home to gather the equipment received the same blessing. And for those who weren't able to be here, there's been a blessing imparted into this church over these last days, and it's been the investment of the leadership that have put this conference on. They've invested in the life of this church, and everyone in this church will benefit. And yes, get the tapes and the DVDs, but you received the blessing too when you weren't able to be here. So I just encourage you. It's been a great few days. We've really enjoyed being here.
Amen. Thank you. It's our last morning here with you. Thank you. We have been honored. We stand and present ourselves not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but we come to you in the power of the Holy Spirit. And in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that's where we stand. During the week, there was a lady here with intensive back problems. Is she here today? Doesn't look. It seems she's not here. Is she still here? No. I didn't pray for this lady. She came out one night here, and she wasn't ministered to. She's not here. What a pity she's not here. Because this morning, early this morning, about something past 3:45, I was on my knees. I asked the dear pastor if I could use one of their rooms, and I would just before the Lord, just pressing in, and this lady came to me. And it brought tears to my eyes. There was an inner pain. Something to fall this morning as I laid upon before the Lord, just knelt before the Lord and prayed and interceded. And this lady came to me. I saw the pain, the agony that she's suffering because of this complaint she had. And I just wept before the Lord. And I said, Lord, she's tried everything. She's tried doctors, and she's still in pain and in agony. And I like felt her pain. And I thought, Lord, I must minister to her this morning. Just speak God's healing into her body. I must have stayed there for about, when I got up to go back to bed, it was about 5 o'clock. But the time of prayer to me is very, very important, to wait upon the Lord early in the morning. That's the agreement that God and myself have. God said to me, if you wake up early in the morning, sometimes 2 o'clock in the morning, and pray through, I will bless you. But this is what I want from you. You see, prayer is an agreement between you and God. Prayer is a covenant between you and God. In a covenant, both parties keep their part of the covenant. In prayer, we should keep our part of the deal with God. We mustn't only ask God to do this. God's going to ask us to do something as well. And as long as we do what God asks, He will do what we ask. That's why you don't get your prayers answered. Because you don't do what God asks you to do, but you want Him to do what you want Him to do. It doesn't answer that. Prayer, according to the Greek interpretation, is a vow that you make to God for him to do the other thing for you. If you keep your part of the vow, God keeps his part of the vow. I wish I could speak to you on that, on prayer, but I've got a word that I would like to share. Maybe some other time I'll speak to you about that concept of prayer that has been overlooked by the church so much. And yet it's in the Bible. Over and over it's in the Bible. The order and the secret and the art. You know, prayer is an art of prayer. So it's important that we learn the art of prayer so that we can enjoy the benefits and the results of prayer. Do you all agree with me? Hallelujah. Okay, next time maybe if I come again, just remind me to speak on that. But this morning, I would like to speak to you on the incredible Christ, or the incredible man. I want us to bow our heads and we'll just pray and commit this time to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning in and through the precious and all-prevailing name of Jesus. We, your people, declare that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Hallelujah. We seal that. We say it is true. We say yea and amen. And this morning, he's the Lord of this congregation. He's the Lord of this service. He's the Lord of our lives. Lord, we can't live without you. Lord, we can't exist without you. Lord, we can't function without you. We can't minister without you. We need you in our lives. Jesus, you said, without me, you can't do nothing. Lord, it is so true. We are so dependent as we minister your word that hearts will be arrested and that hearts will be addressed and hearts will be transformed this morning. In Jesus' name, the sick will be healed. The sinner would be saved. The backslider would return. Those that are demonized might be released in Jesus' name. And above that, your church might be edified and you be glorified. That is the purpose of our gathering. We're not here for the fun of it. We're here to come and hear you. What you have to say to us. And we realize that you speak through your spirit. And I veil myself as a vehicle, as a channel through which your Holy Ghost speak. Speak with the voice that would raise the dead here. Speak with the voice that would shake the very ground we stand on in the name of Jesus. Speak with the voice that would rid us from sins, from secret and private sins. Speak with such a voice. Speak with such a voice that would bring deliverance and liberation in the name of Jesus Christ. Speak with a voice that would turn us upside down and the right side up in the name of Jesus Christ. Speak with a voice, Lord, that would change our lives once and for all. Finish. We're finished with the world. We're finished with sin. We're finished with the devil. Speak with such a voice. Such a profound voice that would bring glory, honor, praise. Speak with a voice that would change the destiny of this church. In the name of Jesus and every family represented here, in Jesus' name, let your spirit move across this continent again and bring glory to your name. Thank you for your blessing on your word. Amen. Amen and amen. I would like to draw your attention to the Gospel of Acts, or to the Book of Acts. It is a gospel, but let's call it the Book of Acts, chapter 2. The Book of Acts, chapter 2. We are speaking about the incredible man, or the incredible Christ. Because he is incredible, isn't he? I said, he is incredible, isn't he? I said, he is incredible, isn't he?
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Let's just give him a hand. Hallelujah. 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 I'll read to you verses 22 and verse 36. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did through him in your midst, as you yourself know. It goes on, but I want to skip over to 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. I want you to know that God has made this Jesus that you've crucified, both Lord and Christ, the Anointed One. May the Lord bless the reading of his precious word to our hearts. Verse 22 speaks about Jesus Christ, a man attested or approved or pointed out. A man that God approved of, a man that God pointed out. God is always looking for a man. Did you hear what I said? God is always looking for a man. When I say a man, I mean a woman as well. So women don't feel excluded. But I'll use the term man, speaking both of both sides of the fence. God has been always looking for a man. Right at the beginning of the Bible, God says, man, Adam, where are you? God looking for Adam. I don't think that has changed. I don't think that has changed. According to John chapter 4, Jesus says, the Father seeketh such to worship him in spirit and in truth. God is a man seeker. God is on your case today. God is seeking you today. There's some of you sitting here, you are trying to hide from God, like Adam and Eve. But it doesn't matter how much you try to hide, God will uncover you. God will find you. There's some of you sitting here this morning, you are trying to run from God. There are certain things that God has spoken to you about, and you are running away not to comply with what God has said to you. You're running away from that responsibility. But I tell you that God is on your case, and God can run much further and much faster than you can. David says, if I go to the ends of the earth, you'll find me. David says, if I take the wings and fly there, you will find me, because God is faster than the wings of an eagle. He's God. He rides the waves of heaven. David says, if he ascends up there, he says, God will find you. If he ascends down to the depth of the sea, God will find you. I want to tell you, doesn't matter where you run to, how fast you run to, you can run, but you can't hide. God's going to find you. If God's on your case, God's going to find you. You as mothers and fathers, don't stop praying for your children. God is on their case. When you pray, you release God, the Holy Ghost, to pursue them. They can be involved in whatever gross sin and live wicked lives, attend nightclubs and use drugs, but you pray for them.
Because the Bible says the fervent, effectual prayer of the righteous availeth much. You come in agreement with God. You make a covenant with God. You say, God, save them and I'll give them to you. 1 Samuel chapter 1 verse 11. Hannah came before the Lord. She said, Lord, if you give me a son, I will give him back to you. That's prayer. It's an agreement between two parties. You say, Lord, give me this. That is what I will give you. That's what he said. Mama, Dada, don't worry. Stay on your knees for your kids. God will get them in one way or another, because there's a devil out there that wants to destroy them, that wants to stop them, that wants to take them to hell. But stop God. Pray God that he would close the gates of hell for them. Open the gates of heaven so that they might be saved. Am I right here? So keep on praying for them. Keep on. But I want to tell you, you that have grown cold and indifferent, God is on your case. God's on your case. The incredible man, Jesus Christ, is on your case. God always looking for a man. In the book of Isaiah chapter 59, verse 16, God was looking for somebody to fill a vacuum space, but he couldn't find it. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 63, verse 5, again, God says, I looked around and there was no man. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 22, verse 30, God says, and I looked for a man to make up the wall, to make up the gap between me and the land, and I couldn't find anybody. There was no one. God's looking for a man. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 5, verse 1, God says to Jeremiah, run to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem. He says, see now and know and seek in the broad places thereof if you can find a man. That's all that God was looking for. That's all the prophet was looking for. See if you can find a man. God says, if you can find a man, I will reverse the process. I will take away judgment if you can find a man. And there was no man to be found. In the book of John, chapter 19, the Bible says, and Jesus came forth wearing a purple gown and a crown of thorns, and Pilate said, behold the man. Did you hear that? Pilate says, there's the man that God was looking for. There's the man that could stand in the gap. There's the man that could bring reconciliation. There's the man that could bring about signs, wonders, and miracles. God help us that we don't preach the gospel without signs and wonders and miracles. Because if we preach the gospel without signs, wonders, and miracles, we're preaching a hostile gospel. Just good theory and just good theology isn't good enough. That's not what he's called us to. He's called us to preach the gospel under the power and under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Sorry. That's what he requires. You that are upcoming preachers, refuse to preach the gospel just verbalizing truth and facts. That's not good enough. We are not preaching to the intellect of men. We're preaching to their spirit. And their spirit can only be quickened by a living word. And that's what I want. I don't want theology. I want Christ in all his fullness. The man. There's the man. And as you preach by the Spirit, you preach by a revelation. You see things beyond what's written in the Word. That's what we want. We need hearts to be touched. Tozer. You've heard about Tozer, the great man of God, Tozer. Tozer said in one of his books, he says, the trouble with the church is the following. We are raising students instead of soldiers. We are raising students. Listen, I've got nothing wrong with teaching in church. Teaching is good. But he said, we raise students instead of soldiers. God has called us to be soldiers. And he says, the saddest thing about this is that we spend more time in the barracks than on the mission field. He challenges the church. God help us. God help us. Sometimes we can be so programmed in church that we shut the Holy Ghost out. We shut, we push him out. This is what we want to do. We don't sit still and hear what God wants us to do. We want, this program works for him over there. Oh, Bill Hybels says that over there. We must. Good Lord, Jesus died for you, not Bill Hybels or any of these great men. I respect their work. I respect their teachings. But don't formulate your church according to what they say. You formulate your church according to what God says to you. Do it as God says to you. Otherwise, your church is going to fail. Otherwise, you are a copycat. And you are not a copycat. Chris is not a copycat. You are the original. Somebody get excited. Turn to somebody and say, I am the original. Hallelujah. God's anointed. Thank you, darling. That's God's intention. Trying to stick to my word, yeah? I hope I'll be able to. Otherwise, I'll have to ask Abel to come and sit tonight that I can finish this word. I'm joking. God's incredible man, Jesus. What's his name? Jesus. What's his name? Jesus. What's his name? Jesus, hallelujah. Jesus is the incredible man. Pilate says, hey, that's the man. The Bible says in Timothy, I think 2 Timothy 2:5, there's one God, one mediator between God and man. The man, Christ, Jesus. And here, Luke writes, he says, Jesus, a man appointed, a man singled out by God. Hallelujah. Our gospel is hopeless and useless without Jesus. We've got nothing to give without Jesus. We've got nothing to preach without Jesus. Paul says to the Corinthians, I don't want to hear any nonsense among you. I only want to hear about Christ, Jesus. Christ and Christ crucified. That's all. Without Jesus, we have no gospel. Because he is the man, hallelujah. He is the man, hallelujah. To the astrologers, Jesus Christ is the morning star. To the banker, Jesus Christ is the hidden treasure. To the builder, Jesus Christ is the sure foundation. To the carpenter, Jesus Christ is the door. To the editor, Jesus Christ is good news. To the educator, Jesus is the master teacher. To the electrician, Jesus is the light of the world. To the engineer, Jesus is the new and living way. To the geologist, Jesus is the rock of ages. To the jeweler, Jesus is the pearl of great price. To the banker, Jesus is the bread of life. To the thirsty, Jesus is the living water. Ah, hallelujah. It's all about Jesus. 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 Yes, the whole Bible, the whole New Testament, and the Old Testament speaks about Jesus. The Bible teaches about Jesus in the book of John or in the book of Matthew. He's the Messiah. In Mark, he's the wonder worker. In Luke, he's the Son of Man. In John, he's the Son of God. In Acts, he's the Holy Spirit. In Romans, he's the Justifier. In 1st and 2nd Corinthians, he's the Sanctifier. In Galatians, he's the Redeemer from the curse. In Ephesians, he is the unsearchable riches. In Philippians, he is the God who supplies our need. In Colossians, he's the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In Thessalonians, he's the soon coming King. In 1st and 2nd Timothy, he's the mediator between God and men. In Titus, he's the faithful pastor. In Philemon, he's the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. In Hebrews, he's the blood of Israel. Hallelujah. Israel's covenant. In James, he is the great physician. In Peter, he's the chief shepherd. In 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, he's love. In Jude, he's the coming king. In Revelations, he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Ha! 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 He's Abel's sacrifice. He's Noah's rainbow. He's Abram's ram. He's Isaac's well. He's Jacob's leader and scepter. He's Issachar's burden. He's Balaam's shalom. He's Moses' rod. He's Joshua's sun and moon that stood still. Jesus Christ is Lord and Lord of all. Hallelujah. That's our Jesus. That's our Lord. That's our shepherd. That's the incredible one. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. His name is? His name is? Peter denied him. Judas betrayed him. Pilate interrogated him. The crowds refused him. The soldiers spat and mocked him. The Jews mocked him. Herod arrayed him. The priests accused him. The disciples forsook him. The soldiers crucified him. Simon helped him. Joseph buried him. The father raised him. Hallelujah. The woman followed him. And Mary loved him. And we adore him. Hallelujah! He is the lily of the valley. He is the bright morning star. He's the fairest among 10,000. He is him who was and who is to come. The fairest of all. His name is?
Jesus.
Hallelujah! Oh, ba 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 ba. I'm still busy with my introduction. I'm still busy with my introduction. But I'm all psyched up. I'm all on fire because of who he is. Because who we are is what he made us. It's him that did the work of grace in us. So Jesus, he is the incredible Christ. This Christ of God brings transformation. What does he bring? This Christ of God brings revelation. What does he bring? This Christ of God brings manifestation. What does he bring? That's it. He brings transformation. He brings revelation. He brings manifestation. Now I'm starting with my sermon. I don't think I'll complete the sermon, but I'll give you what I've got. Transformation. Change. He's incredible because he's the only being under the sun that could bring transformation to any life. To any life. I had a friend that murdered somebody, killed somebody. Those days it was a knife. I'm talking about the early days. He killed somebody. He was a murderer. He was imprisoned for a period of time. Every night, when he went to bed, that person, when he killed, that person's face would appear to him. He couldn't sleep at night. Night after night, he was haunted by this person, seeing this person night after night in prison. One day, his name was Solly. We called him Solly. One day, Solly heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Solomon accepted Jesus as his Savior. Since the day he accepted Jesus as his Savior in prison, he never saw that face again. He could sleep at night. Why? Jesus brings transformation. That's why you are sitting here this morning. Because some of you were little scoundrels. You look like little angels this morning because of what Jesus did to you. But some of you were good for nothing. Come on, talk to me. I'm not insulting you. I'm telling you the truth. I was a good for nothing. I was a scoundrel. I was way out and lost. So were you. We just don't know it, but that has been forgiven. Hallelujah. Who did it? The incredible Christ. He did it. I'm just going to share one fact with you of this transformation. And I want you to look in your Bibles to the gospel according to St. Mark chapter 5. What the incredible Christ does. The gospel of Mark chapter 5. Let's look at the incredible Christ. What we must understand and appreciate dearly, that our salvation is all about transformation. It's all about change. Do you agree? Say amen. You can say amen. Pastor won't get you for it. You can say amen while I'm here. When I'm gone, you can keep quiet. But while I'm here, just say amen. This Christ is all about change. Everybody he met, their lives were changed. Up to this very hour, whoever has an encounter with Christ is changed. You agree with me? Must be changed. If you're not changed, you haven't experienced the fullness of God's salvation. I'm not talking about turning over a new leaf. I'm not trying to tell you, do some good works. I'm not saying, come to church. I'm saying, encounter Christ and be changed. If your life hasn't been changed and you're sitting here this morning, I'm here to tell you, Christ can change you. Because what we are preaching is about change. He changes your heart. For the Bible says, a new heart I will give to you. I will take away the heart of stone and I'll give you a heart of flesh. Hallelujah. Change. The word repentance deals with change. The word repentance has 8 words in the Greek, or the Hebrew rather, has 8 words. It's translated into 8 words. The basis of these 8 words means change your mind. What does it mean? That's what it's all about. If you change your mind, God will change your heart. Did you hear me? If you change your mind, God will change your heart and your entire life will be. Because if your mind can be changed through conversion, and it does, your mind's changed, your speech. Hello? Because you think before you speak. Though some people speak before they think. So your speech will change. Thank you. Your speech will change. And God is in the changing of speeches. When you change your mind, your conduct and your behavior will change. It will change. It must change. Because your mind has changed. If your mind and heart is changed, it won't only change your conduct and your behavior, it will change your life. Because God is involved there. If you can change your mind and heart, God does that for you. Not only change your life, it will change your destiny. Get that? It will change your destiny. Because we, as God's people, are people of destiny. Hallelujah. Yes. We are not a mishap. We are not here because of an accident. Neither are we has-beens. We are people of destiny. Hallelujah. Celebrate that. Celebrate that. Celebrate that. Turn to somebody and say, I'm a man, I'm a woman of destiny. Turn to somebody now. Next thing you do, come and talk to each other. Say, God has a plan for me. Say to him again, God has a plan for me. And I intend fulfilling that plan. Now clap your hands to the Lord. Now, let's continue. Chapter 5. We're talking about transformation. Chapter 5. Let's read together. I'll read to you. Verse 3, I would read to you about this man. And the Bible says, he has his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains. This is this man from the Gadarenes. Listen to this. Because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. Are you seeing the picture of this man that needs transformation? No one could tame him. Listen to this. Verse 5. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshiped him. I want you to look at this man. I'm going to pray for you, sister with the back. I'm going to pray for you. When you look at this man, you see a man that was self-destructive. Is that correct? He was self-destructive. The Bible says he broke the shackles. He broke the chains. He lived in the tombs. And now, day and night, he's crying and doing what? Cutting himself. I was in a service in Brisbane, ministering to a friend in a friend's church. I made an appeal, and a young man came forward. Teenage young man came forward. I was to pray for him. Short-sleeved, I think it was. But I saw these marks on his forearm. Marks galore. I didn't understand it. So somebody explained to me, they call it self-mutilation. I said, what? Yes, that's what they do. And in our church are people that are self-destructive. You're destroying yourself. And the Bible says in John 10:10, the devil comes to destroy. So in actual fact, you are cooperating with the devil in bringing about self-destruction. Restlessness, can't sleep at night. Screaming, tearing his clothing. This man needed transformation. The people try to transform him, putting on new clothes, binding him with chains and shackles, but their efforts failed. Human efforts to change people always failed. It's Christ. It's Christ. I said it's Christ and Christ alone. What society didn't help. We can try social efforts. It's good to do good works. But we discover sometimes social work doesn't help at all. I've tried social work for a lot. I had about 200 to 300 people that I catered for. I gave them an ablution area. I gave them blankets. I gave them food. I gave them covering and place to sleep. Gave them TV and everything. They would steal the food, the knives and forks. They would steal the blankets and go and sell it. They stole one of our TVs. They stole my washing machine. Social work doesn't always work if Christ is not the center of it all. Okay? So if you have social work, let your motive and your aim and motivation be Christ. We must get him to Christ. Otherwise, they will abuse you. There's some beggars that are very artistic in the trade. They use special techniques to win your sympathy. To soften you up. They haunt your church to get things out of you. Not for your benefit, for their benefit. They go around the corner and they sell it. So that they could continue with their trade in alcohol and drugs and living as they are. Society tried to change this man. It didn't work. But one day. Hallelujah. Listen, I'm not saying stop doing. No, go and do. But do it in Jesus' name. Please, don't get me wrong. But one day, there was the stranger of Galilee. You know the stranger of Galilee? One day, the sea walker came along. One day, the blind man's healer came along. One day, the leper cleansing man of Galilee came along. One day, the Son of Man, the Son of God, came along. One day, the beginning, the end, came along. One day, the Omega and the Alpha came along. One day, he who was and who is to come, came along. And met this man with a serious, destructive condition. Jesus cast out the demons. Go to verse 15 of the same chapter. 15 of the same chapter. Remember, we're talking about transformation. Transformation. Verse 15. Then they came to Jesus and saw he, the one who had been demon possessed and had a legion. Sitting clothed. What was he doing? Sitting for a change instead of running around. He was sitting and he was clothed in his right mind. And they were afraid. It's amazing how the people are afraid of us. They think we are sick. They think we are weird. They think we have a short fuse. They think we are running low on gas. They don't know we're running on a full tank that's overflowing. They don't know that. Strange, they're afraid of these people. Don't want to talk to them. Stay away from them. Stay away from that church. Strange people. That's what they said about this man. And the Bible said, the man who was what, Paul? Possessed. He was possessed with demons. I want you to be mindful of this fact. This is the intention of every demon. What did I say? This? Of every demon to possess you. Did you hear? To possess you. When a person is possessed by the demons, it means the devil has taken over his mind and his will and can use and abuse him as he sees fit. The devil has the steering wheel. With your steering wheel, you can turn whichever way. Doesn't matter how big the car or a truck or whatever, you control because you have the steering wheel. When a person is possessed by the devil, he has the steering wheel. He can do with them what he likes. And the devil would like people to think that they are possessed, that he possesses them. He tried to impress people and tell them, listen, I'm possessing you. If I possess you, you'll be satisfied. But he's a liar. He's a liar. What happens nowadays? There are people that are possessed, very few people. But there are people that are demonized. Did you hear what I said? There's a difference between being possessed by a demon and being demonized. When a person is demonized, I don't know whether Chris would agree with my philosophy, but I want to say this. Even Christians can be demonized. I've proved it. I will prove it to you again. Not demon possessed, because the Spirit of God is in them. But born again people can be demonized because of strongholds in their lives. Demons take advantage of weaknesses and strongholds, and they fester there and let you do things that amaze you. A couple of weeks ago, we were praying for a Christian lady, beautiful lady, Christian for many years. And she told us her case. She told us this torment. She told us this fear that she had and all the rest of it. And as I listened to her, I could pick up, this is demonization. We brought her forward in this church. Beautiful lady, Christian, loved the Lord. We addressed and dealt with issues, and then demons started manifesting. And we commanded the demons out in the name of Jesus. They had no alternative but to go. Because they must go. There's power in the name of Jesus. We have divine authority. It's time we exercise our authority instead of sitting up and just being sympathetic. God hasn't called you to be sympathetic and pathetic. He's called you to be prophetic. Do you understand what I'm saying? Sometimes we, the church, bear too much nonsense of the devil, and we think, oh, let's just handle them with love. Jesus didn't handle this man with love. He cast out the devil. He cast out demons. Sometimes we act better than God. We behave better than God. We try to do it our way. Let's go and do it God's way. Demonize. You know, and demonization is when you make an opening in your life. You create an opening in your life. You remember in the book of Job, when the devil spoke to God about Job? God says, did you consider Job? That's my man. And the devil said, but I can't get to him because you've made a fence around him. Remember? Remember? You've put a hedge around him. A hedge is around every child of God. But it's only if you create a gap in that hedge. It's only when you create a gap in that hedge, demons will come in and abuse you. They don't stay there. They just use that hedge and come into your life and does destructive things to you. Let you do things that boggle your mind and hurt people and say things that are ungodly, and then they leave again. Because they don't stay there. They just harass you. That's what demons does. And it's time the church realizes this. That we've got serious issues on hand that we must deal with and get them out. It's because of a hurt of the past or a disappointment of the past or some sin of the past. The present is being affected. It's being demonized. Now the other day, myself and somebody else was busy with a brother. Man that's been filled with the Holy Ghost in his 20s. He had some problems. There were some manifestations. There were some pains in his body that the doctors couldn't diagnose. But we that are spiritual, we know where these pains come from. Hello, am I talking to the right people here? Demons can cause pain in your body. Bring dislocations where there shouldn't be. And no doctor's medication is going to help. Only the name of Jesus can help. Only the name of Jesus. This young man. We spoke to this young man. And then he went into a frenzy. He started doing things, strange things. Later, he became weak, fell on the ground, and he couldn't get up. We knew what it was. But this man is born again. He's speaking in tongues. We knew what it was. Got him up, prayed for him. This demon spoke to us. This demon had the audacity to, do you know demons speak? This demon said to us, hey, listen, you can't get me out of here. He said, I have been here 15 years. And this young man is about 25, 26. Now you're minus 15 there. You've got about 10, 12 left. Is that correct? 11, whatever you've got. So he says, I've been here 15 years. He says, I'm not getting out of here. Young people, please be warned. Parents, guard and protect your children under the precious blood of Jesus. Minister to your children. Don't let them sit at TV and watch Harry Potter, please. Watch the programs they have. Watch what they get at school. Because some of the books and stories are demonized. And the teachers don't know it. But we know it. We know better. Stop your children. Say, no, no, sorry, that's not for you. Because demons seek entrance at an early age to demonize you. I'm just about. We must go on. I must get you there. Never mind if we, you don't mind if we go overboard here today, Pastor. Because this is important. This demon said to us, I'm sorry. I've been here 15 years. So, he said, he started cursing and swearing. This young man, demon used him. Then I said to the demon, you are so right. You are so right. You've been here 15 years and today is your last day. Today, you've just set your own deadline. 15 years, it's finished now. The demons went on and cast them out in the name of Jesus. Cast them out. That stronghold, we delivered him. But I want to show you something amazing. Go back to chapter 5 of Mark. Go back to chapter 5 of Mark. I just want to show you something precious here. Then we'll go to Mark chapter 1. But go back to chapter 5. Listen to this. Listen to this. Chapter 5. And we will read verse. Verse 7. Verse 6 says, when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshipped him. Verse 7 says the following. And he cried out with a loud voice and said, what? Have you got it? Verse 7. He says, what have, what's the next word? What have I? What have I? I is a personal pronoun to do with you. Correct? Is that what he said? Yes. Turn to chapter 1 of Mark. I just want to show you something. Just want to show. Chapter 1 of Mark. Just chapter 1 of Mark. Let's read verse 23. Now there was a man in their synagogue with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I, see the personal pronoun? I know who you are. But did you read the words before that? It says, leave us alone. What have we got to do with you? Have you noticed that? And all of a sudden, it changes from singular to plural. Have you noticed the conversation the devil? From singular to plural. Go to chapter 5 again. Go to chapter 5 again. Go to chapter 5 again. Verse 7. And he cried out with a loud voice, saying, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you should not torment" who? "Me." Okay, now let's read on. Let's read on. And Jesus said to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." Now that spirit didn't come out. Jesus said, "Come out," that spirit didn't come out. According to the original Greek here, Jesus rebuked that spirit more than once, commanded it more than once to come out. Repeatedly commanded it to come out. Verse 9, and he asked him, "What is your name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are what?" We are what? We are what? Many. You see, from singular to plural. Do you see that? Do you see the difference? Singular to plural. What am I trying to tell you? The strength of demons are in packs. Did you hear what I say? Did you hear what I say? What did I say? What did I say? In packs. Their strength is in packs. Lions hunt in packs. They are more effective in packs. Hyenas are more effective in packs. Demons has their strength in numbers. Come on. If there's one demon in a person, be sure that there's more of them. His relatives are in there as well. If there's a spirit of fear, you will also find a spirit of anger. You will find a spirit of intimidation. You'll find a spirit of insecurity and of a low self-image. You'll find those spirits there as well. You'll find them there. Demons are most successful in packs. So if you deal with one, you'll find that there's fears of heights, there's fears of this, and fears. They're all related, but they operate in packs. They're effective. And a lot of the church doesn't know this. It's time that we know this. So we know how to operate. Know how to defeat them. What people that has demon oppression needs. Demon harassment needs. Is a period with counselors. Whether you do it every day, once a week, twice a week. Because demons, they are something that I call a lingering demon. They like to linger around. So you've got to see that you keep your foot. Sometimes it can last quite a while. This is heavy things I'm sharing with you. I'm sharing it for your benefit. Sometimes it can linger for quite a while. But you have the victory in the name of Jesus. Once you get the person delivered, see that you keep a tab on that person all the time. Because those demons can come back. They operate in packs. You get the one out, you think they're all gone? No, his brother is still in there. His cousin, his nephew, his brother-in-law and their children, they're still playing around in there. So you've got to consistently break down, cast them out. But Jesus says, "Behold, I give you power over all the powers of the devil." Jesus cast them out. You don't sympathize them with them. Cast them out in the name of Jesus because you have the right and you've got the authority. Shame. It's just a few of you say amen. Others say, others, they are somewhere. I hope I'm touching you. Somewhere in limbo. Hey, come down. Because this might confront you tomorrow. And you as children of God, get yourself geared up. Get yourself spiritful. Start living holy because tomorrow you're going to face somebody who's demon-possessed. Who's going to come up right into your face and tell you this. You've got no power to cast me out. Because that's their favorite saying. Jesus met this man cast out these demons. How many demons was it? 2,000 demons? Whatever. You see there? Packs. Packs. Jesus says, set this man free. Amazing. Transformation. Let's clap our hands. If Jesus did it then, can he do it today? Yes. And who does he want to use? He wants to use you. It's not for the pastors and for the elders. It's for you as God's child. You've got the authority. I tell you, you will shake. Men, you will shake in your pens when the demons start talking to you. But then as you shake, get up in the name of Jesus and take your rightful stand. Take and utilize the authority that God has invested in you. Because greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. I want to pray now. I'm not finished with my sermon. I'm just about giving you an introduction. You see, I didn't want you to preach like this in your convention. I behaved myself. I want to pray now. I want to pray. Let's bow. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your blessed Son, the incredible Christ that's in our midst today. Lord, we have shared much about his incredibility. Lord, we say today, you are awesome in this place, mighty God. Yes, you are here through your Son and by your Spirit, you are here. We celebrate your presence. Hallelujah. Today we pray for those who don't know you, that they might come to know you.